Let us start in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the one God. Amen. So, like I was saying, there are all kinds of different fears out there. But today we're going to look at a very, very serious fear, unlike the joking ones that I was just talking about. And that fear is one that is at the heart of every other fear that we have, and every single one of us in this room's got it. And that fear is fear of the future. That is the number one fear that every single one of us has. Fear of what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen in 5 years. The thing is, the reason that we're all scared of the future is logically, it makes sense because the future, we don't know what's going to happen. We as human beings like to control things. And the future is outside of our control. We don't know what it's going to bring. We don't know if it's going to bring terrorism. We don't know if it's going to bring tsunamis. We don't know if it's going to bring prosperity. We don't know if it's going to bring riches or poor or layoffs or stock markets. We don't know what the future holds for us. That's why, obviously, we're very scared of it. Now, all kinds of people can try to tell you they know the future, but at best, everyone is just guessing. Even the weatherman, at best, he's just doing his best, and that's just a guess. No one really knows the future. Now, if you think about this, there isn't much that we as human beings can't do. We as human beings can transplant hearts from like a monkey to a man. We can send people to the moon. We can do like triple bypass surgeries. We can take a little golf ball that's like this and hit it in a small little hole which is like 200 yards away with exact precision. But the one thing that we can't do and the one thing that we can't figure out is what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay? So because of that, we fear, we worry, we have anxiety. And we try to control the future through our fear. I try to control what's going to happen tomorrow by being really, really worried about it. And by really, really thinking about it a lot, thinking that that gives me some more control over what's going to happen. But of course, like I said, that's foolish. We can't control the future. We can't guess the future. We can't know the future. But I got good news for you. God does. All right? So there are some facts about your future that we need to kind of establish as our baseline here. And number one is that even though I don't know, God knows everything that's going to happen. God knows everything that is going to happen. Look at Hebrews 4:13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Nothing that's hidden from his sight. No limits to what God can see. No limits to what God knows. God knows past, present, future, and it's all at the drop of a hat for him. This is kind of a tough concept for us to understand, but let me try to give you an example. Let's say it's New Year's Day. And we have the Macy's Day Parade in New York or in Disney or wherever it is you got your parade. Let's say I take the Goodyear blimp and I'm on top of that parade. If I'm looking down from 2,000 feet above or whatever, I can see the whole parade at once, right? I can see Mickey in the front and Donald in the back and Goofy bringing up the rear. I can see it all at once because I'm way, way above. But now if I'm in the parade itself, if I'm next to Goofy, I can really only see Goofy. I can't see what's at the front. I can't see what's at the back. I can only see the particular piece that is around me. Agree? Well, it's the same thing with God. Here you are living in life and you're walking through year 2005. All you can see is February 13, 2005. But God is above. And God's got a different perspective. And he can see 2006 and 2005 and 20,005 all in the same time because God has a bigger perspective on things. So what that means to me is that even though I'm scared of the future, I don't know what the future is going to bring, I don't want to be surprised, I don't want to be taken aback by the future, I should rest knowing that God will never be surprised. God will never say, okay, do this, do this, do this, because I got something in the future, and then, oops, it didn't work out the way I expected it. That never happens to God. God never says, oops, all right? God knows future, past, present, all at the same time. Not only does he know everything that's going to happen, but number two, God has a plan for my future. Not only does he know what's going to happen, but God has a plan of how he wants things to work. Look at Jeremiah 12:29-11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, I know there's some people in this room who are control freaks, who are worrywarts, who like to plan every single detail, the 2.5 kids and the white picket fence and the career and the med school and the husband and the wife and all this kind of stuff. You got it all planned out. Let me ask you a question. You find the most worrywart person in the world. You think that's you. Do you think that you have thought more about your future than God? Who has put more effort into thinking about your future? God has. Because God's been thinking about it for 2,000 years. And God is not just thinking about when you're going to get married, when you're going to have kids, but God is looking all the way down at the end of the line. So no matter what you think about your future, no matter what great plans you got, God's got a better plan, and God has put 10,000 times more into it than you. So His plan is much better than yours. Look what His plan includes. He doesn't just talk about wife and kids. He talks about peace and not evil, future and a hope. Peace, future, hope, these are great words. These are words that I want in my future. And these are words that I want in my plan, and that's what God says. That's what I'm thinking about you. So we have to get out of this mentality that God doesn't care about my future, or if I'm not looking out for myself, then no one's looking out for me. God does care, and God has a great plan, much better than your stinky plan. No matter what you could have planned in life, God's plan is 1,000 times better. Okay? So, that's good news, right? If God's plan is to give me peace, then I'm always going to have peace in life, right? God's plan is to give me peace. So I'm always going to have peace. It's God's plan, right? Wrong. If God wants something, and man wants something different, who wins? Man. If God wants me to go to heaven, I choose not to go to heaven. I win. God wanted Adam not to eat the apple. Adam wanted to eat the apple. Who wins? Adam. So God's will, yes, peace and future and hope, but man's will can overrule God's will when it comes to his own individual decisions. So God's will is not always fulfilled. It's only fulfilled when you cooperate with it. But if you choose not to cooperate with it, if you choose to veto it, you have ultimate executive authority. You are the Supreme Court judge guy, and everything appealed goes to you, and you can veto whatever you want. You can change whatever decisions you want when it comes to your life and God's plan for your life. So God's will is not always done. And God's plan is not always actualized. Think about it. If God's plan was always done, no one would be in hell. And there would be no hell. But lots of people are going to end up in hell because God's plan isn't always done. But just because you may be in a situation right now where you don't have that peace. You don't have that hope. You don't have that future. Just because you don't have it doesn't mean God didn't plan it. All it means is that there, somewhere along the path, you chose not to cooperate with God, not to do things His way, but to do things your own way, and that's why you missed out on it. But the good news is that you can always jump back on God's plan. God's plan is like the beltway. All right, so no matter what exit you are, you can always get right back on. No matter if you're in Maryland or D.C. or Virginia, you can always get right back onto God's plan because there's always an on-ramp coming near you. So God knows everything that's going to happen. God has a plan for my future. And thirdly, God will be with me every step of the way. God will be with me, holding my hand, side by side, mano a mano. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." I don't know what's going to happen in 2005. I don't know when you're going to get married. I don't know when you're going to get that promotion. I don't know when you're going to get a house. I don't know when anything's going to happen. But one thing I know for sure is that God will be with you, regardless of where you go or what you do, because that's what it says right there. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know what's going to happen in my upcoming year, but I know that wherever I go, God is always going to be with me. That's why if your deepest prayer in life is, God be with me, that's not a very good prayer to pray. Okay, I'm already with you. So basically you're asking for nothing. That's like me coming here and saying, Maria, please sit down. Please sit down. Please, please, please sit down. Okay, I'm sitting. Relax. You got what you wanted. So if your greatest prayer in life is, God be with me, well, what are you doing? God's already with you. He said, I'm with you. So you don't need to pray that. Go on. Now ask not just to be with you, but to guide you. Ask Him to help you. Ask Him whatever. But don't just say, God be with me, because He's already with you. And God being with you is called His faithfulness. All right? God's faithfulness is means that He's never going to leave you. And that's kind of our theme for today here, is that the reason we should have no fear about our future is because of God's faithfulness. That when God says, I'm never going to leave you, that He never will leave you. And our theme verse for this series is going to be the next one, Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord... I didn't seek therapy. I sought the Lord, I didn't seek my own will. I sought the Lord, I didn't seek a promotion, or I didn't seek a relationship, or I didn't seek a friendship. I sought the Lord, and when I sought Him, it's kind of like what I was talking about upstairs in the sermon today, is that when you got problems in life, the solution is not here. The solution is with God. And if you're lonely, the solution is not to hang out with more people. The solution is to hang out more with God. And if you're troubled, the solution is not to fix your problems. The solution is to hang out more with God. Because I sought the Lord and He delivered me. Not a book, not a therapy, not a job, not a nothing. There's nothing that God can't fix in life. And for every fear that you may have, for every anxiety, God has a different characteristic about Him that can solve it. And for today's fear... No problem. That's Mina Nechla. I'm going to give a big hand to Mina Nechla for interrupting. Very good.
It's okay.
Sure. Good catch. All right. Thanks, Mina. No booing the visitors. No booing the visitors. So, where was I? Coptophobia, right? No, I'm joking. For every fear that you may have, there's an attribute of God that can take care of it. So your fear of the future, which we're talking about today, is solved by God's faithfulness and understanding what it means that God is faithful. And the more and more you understand God's character, the more and more those fears go away. So like I'm saying, you got problems, you got fear, you got anxiety, don't try to fix it. Try to understand God more, and I promise you that there is an aspect of God that can solve your fear, your anxiety, your worry, your whatever it is that you have in life. That's why the Bible says the perfect love casts out fear. That people who understand God's nature, who understand God deeply, don't fear anything in life because there is no fear inside God. So, like I said, today we're talking about the future and fear of the future. And the corresponding attribute there is God's faithfulness. Now, what does faithfulness mean? What does that mean? God is faithful, or God is faithfulness. What does that mean? Faithful means can't lie, can't break a promise. Says something, does it. There's no maybe, ifs, ands, or buts about it. When God says something, God does it. So when God says, I'll never leave you, it doesn't mean like 99.99% of the time. That's what it means. If I say, you know, to my wife or to my friend, I'll always love you. That means that 99% of the time, you know, it'll come through, but there's always that 1% exception. Not with my wife, but I'm saying other people with their wives, maybe. But you know what I mean? That means we're 99%, okay? But God is 100%. That means even when you curse me and spit on me and defile my name, I still will never leave you and I still will always love you. When God says that He is faithful, another way of looking at it is saying God, for Him, it is impossible to be unfaithful. It is impossible for Him to say something and do something different. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Even if you are an unfaithful, you know, ingrate who hates God, God is still faithful and God will never leave you. That's what the Bible says, because God can't go back on His word. All right? What does that have to do with my fear of the future? What does that have to do with tomorrow and what tomorrow brings? Well, if you go inside the Bible, you go inside God's textbook, you will see that there are over 7,000 promises for you and for me. The Bible makes over 7,000 promises, which basically say, if you trust me, I will do this in your life. And if you seek me, I will do this in your life. And if you follow me, I will give you this in life. Over 7,000 blank checks. They're just waiting to put your name in there and today's date. 7,000 of them just sitting there waiting for you to write your name in there, write the date on there, and cash that bad boy and cash in on God's promises. And like I said, God cannot bounce a check. All right? God cannot, you know, come up empty in the bank account. What God promises, God comes through on. So today, we're going to look at five of God's, I didn't put promises, guarantees. God makes five money-back guarantees for my future. And the first one of them is, I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. To guide me when I'm confused. If you believe these five guarantees, you'll never be scared about the future. Have no fear about the future. And the first one is that I can depend on God to guide me. Like I said in the beginning, this is important because the future brings uncertainty. The future brings a lot of things which I don't know what it's going to bring. And if you're like me, when you're faced with a situation and you don't know what's ahead, you start to get worried because you know, let's say for example, I'm going to have to make a decision about a job or about a major or about a wife or a husband or about a city to live in. I'm going to have to make a decision and I'm confused and I'm scared that I'm going to make the wrong one. Are you like me where you know that if you have a decision to make in the future, there's a very good chance that you're going to make the wrong decision? All right, that's one of the things that kind of eats away at us, that I don't know if I'm going to choose the right thing. I want this, but I kind of want this, and how do I know what to choose? The future is filled with questions that need to be answered. How to deal with this, and where to go here, and what to sign up for there, and how to cope with this. And that's not even getting into the unexpected things of life. We all hate that. But the good news is that as complex and as complicated as life is, that's okay because God's got it all figured out and God promised that He's going to be there and He's going to be there to guide you. Look at Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. This is one of those blank checks. Alright? Do this and I'll give you this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. This is one of the greatest things that causes people confusion. How do I know what to do? How do I know what decision to make? People want to say, Buna Anthony, tell me, is God going to write it in the sky? How do I know God's going to come through? I've got to figure it out myself. How can I trust in God? You know what? I don't have an answer. I can't tell you how God's going to speak to you, but I know one thing for sure, that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding and in all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. How is He going to direct it? I don't know. Maybe it's through your father of confession. Maybe it's through your parents. Maybe it's through a gut feeling. I don't know, but He's going to do it because that's what it says, and He can't lie. He can't go against Himself. So the Bible says, trust in the Lord. He's going to take care of you. He's going to guide you. My question to you is who are you trusting in? When you think about the future and your decisions that need to be made, who's your authority? Who's your source of advice? What's your source? What's your resource, your reference that you're going to? Some people go to friends. I go to my friends to guide me. Well, that ain't a very good thing because your friends are in the middle of the parade like you. So it's the blind leading the blind. It's Mickey asking Goofy, where's Donald? All right? It's not going to do you any much good. Some people read books and read magazines and things like, I don't know, what do people read? Cosmo or 17 or I don't know what you guys read, but whatever it is you read, go in there for advice. Some people write to Ann Landers. Some people call Dionne Warwick in the psychic hotline or something. Some people go to fortune cookies and that tries to guide them. What is it that's your source, that's your authority figure in life? All of those things that I mentioned are garbage. The only reliable source is God. He's the only one who knows the future, because He's already there. So, don't lean on your own understanding and acknowledge Him and He will guide you. And believe that. Really believe that. Second thing you need to believe is that I can depend on God to assist me when I'm tempted. To assist me or help me when I'm tempted. Okay, we're talking about the future and saying it's a lot of unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen. I know one thing that is definitely going to happen in your future and mine. Which is that the temptations which I face today ain't going to go away. The temptations which I struggle with now are still going to be there tomorrow, probably be there the next day, probably be there for the rest of my life. Now, I'm not saying that you're doomed to live a life of sin, but I'm saying if, plain and simple, if I struggle with pride today, I'm probably going to struggle with it tomorrow and for the rest of my life. If I have a problem with gambling today, it's probably not something that's going to just go away overnight. If purity and keeping my eyes pure is difficult today, then it's not just going to be a magic trick one day in the future, it's going to go away. I know that the temptations I faced yesterday and I faced today, I'm most likely going to face tomorrow and then some, and added more on top of that. Now that doesn't mean, like I said, that you have to give in or you have to live a life of sin, but it just means it's something you're going to struggle with for the rest of your life. Selfishness is something that you're going to struggle with to the day you die. Right? Being, you know, self-centered is something that always going to be the natural thing. So we're always going to struggle against these things. Now, one of the things that causes a lot of people fear and anxiety is fear that in the future, I'm going to relapse. That, you know, I've been doing good with this temptation, and I've been doing better, and I'm scared that I'm going to mess it up, that I'm going to screw it up, and I'm going to go back to where I was before, and even worse. You know what's happening to you when you think that? Satan has intimidated you. Alright? You ever see the movie Rocky IV? I hope so. It's a great movie. You know, in the beginning, when he's fighting against Rocky, alright, Rocky was this tall, and the Russian guy was this tall, but Rocky was tough as nails. and the guy came and he said, I will break you or something like that. But you saw the eye of the tiger in Rocky, right? And Rocky didn't let him intimidate him. So Rocky knew he was in for a struggle. And Rocky knew this is going to hurt. But there came a point in time in that fight, I don't know if you remember, it was after like the first or second round, where basically Rocky's trainer said to him, I'll, you know, paraphrase it just for the sake of, you know, whatever audience we have here. Rocky's trainer basically said to him, you know what? You have taken the strongest that that guy can hit, and you're still standing. He can't hit you any harder. He's already hit you as hard as he could. You were scared that he was going to hit you so hard, and he's going to knock you out. He hit you as hard as he could, and he can't hit you any harder. So you're still standing after that. You'll be okay tomorrow. You'll be okay for the next round. And you'll be okay for the next blow. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt, but it's not going to hurt as much as that last one. And everyone is going to be successively less and less and less. Same thing for you in your spiritual life. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Don't let him make you scared. Don't let him say, I'm going to break you, and you go back into your corner and cry, or you quit the fight. No, you've already taken his hardest blow. You've taken everything he has to give, and the fact that you're sitting here today means that you're still alive. You've taken what Satan has to give, and you are still alive. You are still breathing. You are still going to church. You are still functioning in life. You can do it. I'm not saying he's not going to hit you again, but I'm saying you've already taken the hardest blow. And the good news is who you got in your corner. You don't got the Russian guy in your corner. You got God in your corner. And you got God giving you advice. And you got God who says, not even I'm going to give you advice, but when no one's looking, I'm going to come in the ring with you. And I'm going to help you out. So, don't worry is what God said. I am faithful. I come through with my word and I promise to help you. Where did you promise to help me? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. See, in the beginning of this verse, God knew that we wouldn't believe this. He said, yeah, whatever. We're going to say, yeah, whatever. So in the beginning he says, God is faithful. Remember that whatever I say is true. What this says is, there's no temptation that is stronger than you. There's no temptation that you can't overcome. There's no temptation, and think about this one. You know this to be true just as much as I do, that God doesn't give you an out from. Every time the temptation comes, there's the out. But then sometimes I choose to ignore the out. I choose to ignore the way of escape. But you know it's there, and you know you could have walked away, and you know you could have changed the channel, and you know you could have changed the subject of the conversation. You know you could have done that, because God gave you that way out, but you chose not to. So the Bible is saying here is that God is faithful. He's going to help you when you're tempted. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. So anytime you say, or you hear someone say, I had no choice but to sin. I had no choice. I had no way. It was out of my control. That's garbage. That's not true. Because the Bible says you did have a choice, and you did have a way out, and you chose not to take it. Alright? So don't let the devil intimidate you. Alright? He's never going to stop swinging at you, but like I said, at least you know it won't get any harder. What we need to do again is remember that big perspective, that parade thing that I talked about at the beginning, that you need to have the big perspective in life and see the big picture. When God tells us this, that no temptation is over, sometimes we start to face a temptation, we think, I can never overcome it, it's just going to be too hard, this and that. Again, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective. Let me give you another example. Let's say you're driving up a mountain, all right? You're on those long, windy roads that go like this up a mountain. It's really narrow, and you're driving in front of, somehow you got Tita in front of you who's driving like a half mile an hour and sightseeing, and she's scared and all this kind of stuff. But it's really narrow, so you're scared to pass because you don't know what's going to happen. But imagine that you hooked up your cell phone, you got the CB or whatever, and you're talking to the helicopter that's above, and you say, helicopter man, is there a car that's coming? Can I pass? And the helicopter says, yeah, it's safe to pass. Or he says, no, 18-wheeler coming ahead of you. Wouldn't it be nice if we had that in life, that we could kind of just dial up the helicopter and tell us what's ahead? Say, you know, should I do this or not? Well, that's what God is. God's the helicopter. So when you go to God, you say, God, should I do this or should I not do this? Should I fight this or should I give in to this? What should I do? Trust what he says, because he's the helicopter man who sees what's ahead. Okay? So, you can depend on God to assist you when you're tempted. Number three on the back of your handout. That I can trust God to support me when I'm overwhelmed. Support me when I'm overwhelmed. Ever felt overwhelmed in life? My guess is yes. And a lot of people have been coming to me recently with overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, the best thing to do is go to Abuna and just, just dump it all on Avuna, and this, and everything's overwhelming and just too much, and the world is just changing so fast, and I'm growing up and I gotta make these decisions and I don't know what to do, and where, and the years are just flying by and I'm not getting any younger and I'm still not married, and why am I not married, and things like that, and it's just overwhelming. The world is overwhelming sometimes, isn't it? Well, the good news is, again, that even though the world is overwhelming, that God wants to support you when there's an overwhelmingness. And now, what I just talked about was joking, but let's be serious right now. We have, you know, amongst us here, let's say there's like, what, like 60 of us sitting right here. Let's look at it from the church perspective so that way no one gets offended. We have a church, and let's say upstairs today, between the two liturgies, there was like 500-600 people. Odds are that in the year 2006, one of those people will die. Odds are that one of them will get cancer. You know, this is law of averages. That when you have a large group, the odds are that one of them will have a sick cousin. That one of them will get into a car accident. That one of them will get laid off. That one of them, who knows what's going to happen. And odds are that something like this, I mean, I'm not calling anyone out here, but that could be you. That could be me. Who knows? Question is, when that happens, what are you going to do? Like I said, the future brings a lot of fear, and a lot of fear of any of this kind of stuff. You could lose a loved one, you could lose a job. What are you going to do when this happens? What's your plan? That's why a lot of times we have fear. Well, I'm trying to tell you, don't be scared. Don't panic. Don't flip out. All right? God is promising to support you. Trust in His faithfulness. Trust that even though the bad may come, that He is going to hold you up. And that if this podium starts to fall like this, then I'm going to be here to catch it. I'll make sure it doesn't hit the ground. It may fall a little bit, but I'll make sure it doesn't Humpty Dumpty and splat and crack the egg and die or anything like that. Alright? Good. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 and 3. This, think about this for 2006 for you. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. And through rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. Nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God. I am faithful. I come through on my promises. When I say that you will go through fire and not be burned, I mean it. Trust me. Which is better? To never have faced a fire, or to have faced a fire and walked through alive? Which is better? To have never been sick, or to have been sick and given the strength to overcome the sickness? Which is better? Back to my Rocky example. To have never faced Drago, and never taken the beating, or to take the beating and in the end hold up that championship belt saying, I took the beating and I overcame. That's what God is saying. Saying, I know bad stuff's going to happen to you in life. I'm not saying good stuff's going to happen. I know that if you trust me, you may be martyred. You may be killed. You may be ridiculed. You may be lonely. You may be sad. Maybe all this kind of stuff. But I'm going to get you through it. I'm going to support you. I'm going to make sure that at the end of the fight, you're the one holding up the belt. I'm going to make sure at the end of the fight that you're standing and everything's going to be okay. Our job is just to trust Him. Okay? Trust His faithfulness. You know, in the Bible, believe it or not, there are 365 fear nots in the Bible. Fear not this or fear not that. 365. That's one for every day of the year. Alright? What that teaches me is that every single day of the year, God's going to give you the strength or the comfort or the whatever, but He's going to give it to you one day at a time. Never gives you more than you need. That's why we pray things like, give us this day our daily bread. God doesn't give you strength that you need for all of life, because your problems don't come all at once. They come day by day. So day by day, God gives you the strength. So what I'm saying is relax. Take it easy. When you face the problem, I promise you God will give you the strength. If you trust in Him and you stick with Him, I promise you, bad will come. But when the bad comes, He'll give you the strength to get through. He'll support you through it. Don't expect it today. Don't sit here and say, well, today I'm not strong enough to face this. I know you're not strong enough, but that's why you're not facing it today. But when you face it, God will support you. All right? Number four, I can depend on God to defend me when I'm offended. I can depend on God to defend me when I'm offended. Now, this is the fear that deals with the unfairness in the world. Right? Because there's so much unfairness. There's so many things that are going on which are just wrong. Which people cheat and they still get good grades. People are sinners and they still get promoted. People are unfaithful and no one finds out. No one said that life is fair. Cheaters will prosper. Liars will do well. Heathens will win Super Bowls while saints like Joe Gibbs are just sitting on the sidelines. All right, stuff like that happens. Good people like Joe Gibbs and the Redskins will just sit on the sidelines and watch the heathens win the Super Bowl. Exactly. But no one said life is fair. No one said that innocent people don't suffer. No one said that bad stuff doesn't happen to good people. That's heaven, not earth. Heaven is perfect. Heaven, no bad stuff happens. But earth, bad stuff does happen. And a lot of bad stuff happens to a lot of good people. So don't try to mix the two up. All right? If you get to heaven and bad stuff happens, then you have a right to complain. Then you have a right to say, God, you promised something different. But on earth, he never promised that. That's something we invented. We invented that if you're good, no bad stuff will happen. If you're honest, that you'll never, ever lose or anything like that. That's nonsense. God, in fact, promised the opposite. That you will be hated, you will be prejudiced against, that you will be despised, you'll be persecuted, you'll be ridiculed, you'll be lonely, you'll be sad, you'll be all this kind of stuff. But the question that we want to get to is, how am I going to respond to those things when those things happen, when people take advantage of me? We are so hung up on this fairness thing. We got to get it out of our system. It's this American democracy and law and all that kind of stuff that makes us think that I have a right to this and that. Get rid of that. You know, the whole idea of, now I'm definitely going to offend some people, but that's okay. It'll be funny. Now, you know this whole idea of politically correct? Where did this come from? Everything has to be fair. And everything has to be, you're not short, you're vertically challenged. And your Egyptians aren't fat, they're nutritionally challenged, or whatever you want to call them. This whole idea of, I want to be treated fairly, and I want to be everything like that. Where did that come from? You can't, don't be hung up on this. Don't get hung up on, I got to be treated fairly, and that guy got this, so don't get rid of that. Expect bad stuff to happen. Hey, St. Paul wasn't treated fairly, he was stoned. That's okay, go on with life. The three holy youths were thrown in a furnace, you know, and the other bad people weren't thrown in a furnace. So get past this got to be treated fairly stuff. The thing is, when you are treated unfairly, you have two choices. Either handle it yourself or let God handle it. But you can't be both. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Bible says here that no matter what happened, no matter how bad you were mistreated, trust in God to handle it. God saw it. I know our biggest thing in life is, well, he can't get away with that. He's got to pay the price. Don't worry. God saw it. God's a policeman. God sees everything. And God will take care of it. You just relax. Vengeance is his. Doesn't belong to you. God is keeping score. And he will avenge everything one day. But just not today. So, don't waste your time trying to seek vengeance or anything like that. Because like I said, can't be two people driving the bus. Alright? Can't be two people driving the bus. So if you want to drive, God says, okay, you drive. But can't be both. Alright? So if you want to get in his way, he's going to stop. So, kind of recap where we've gone. I can depend on God to guide me when I'm confused. I can depend on him to assist me when I'm tempted. To support me when I'm overwhelmed. To defend me when I'm offended. And fifth and finally, I can depend on God to reward me when I'm faithful. See, the good stuff comes in the end. The reward. This is what we want. We wanted this as number one. This is the only one that we wanted. We don't want the overwhelmed or the confused. We just want faithful and reward. What I'm saying here is, when you do the right thing, God says, trust me, it is not overlooked. Again, he's keeping score. He sees everything that happens. Count on him to reward you at some point. Oftentimes, we're tempted. Why should I seek the Lord? Why should I stick with God? Why should I? Nobody's going to notice. Nobody cares. Like I said, that guy cheats and he's okay. So what's the point of me sticking by my values and doing things the right way? I'm going to go out and do things my own way. The rest of the world is fine without trying to be good. So why should I? I hear people saying stuff like that a lot. You know, that it's that desire. It's that temptation to kind of let go of God's way and just do things your own way because other people seem to be doing it, seems to be working out fine for them. But what I'm saying is stick with God. God is faithful. God comes through on his promises. And anything which is done for God any kind of slight thing, any time that you could have sought the fortune cookie, but you sought the Lord instead, any time that you could have done things your own way, but you decided to get things God's way, even when it's a phone call or a conversation or whatever, or a prayer or anything like that, God says that will be rewarded. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name. God is not unjust to forget. Saying anything you do for God, it would be unjust of God to forget it, to let it go and not reward it. Bible says that even a cup of cold water in His name will not go unrewarded. Even a cup of water. Even if you bring a cup of water, God says even that, the smallest thing, is not going to be unrewarded. Even if you just give up your seat on the metro, won't go unrewarded. Even if you just give up your parking spot, that's not going to go unrewarded. Even if you give up a Sunday afternoon, things no one's going to see, that's not going to go unrewarded, because everything is rewarded in God's eyes. God is faithful, and He will reward them. So, ask yourself, you think about the future. What are you doing with the future? How are you dealing with it? How are you, preparing yourself? Are you focused on your fears? Are you focused on your life plan? Are you focused on your confusion? Are you focused on feeling overwhelmed? Are you focused on what's going to happen in temptation and this and that? Or the other option is, are you focused on God's faithfulness? Faithful that He's going to be there, that He's always going to be there, that He's never going to leave me. I'm never going to make a decision by myself. I'm never going to fight a temptation by myself. I'm never going to go through a tragedy by myself. I'm never going to treated unfairly and God's just going to ignore it. And I'm never going to do anything good without God seeing it and rewarding it. In light of that, ask yourself, do you really trust God? Do you really, really trust God and His faithfulness? Bottom line this boils down to is, you either trust in God's faithfulness, or you're going to stick with fear for the rest of your life. There's no other option right there. Question for you is, which of those two is going to win? You got your fears on the inside. You got God's faithfulness here. Which of those two is going to overpower the other one? Hopefully it's God's faithfulness. Anyone got any questions? Okay, let's stand up for a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank You, dear Heavenly Father. We thank You from the depth of our heart for Your faithfulness, for Your promises, dear Lord, which are so clear to us, and it's so foolish of us to ignore them, so foolish of us to think that we're ever going to be alone in life, or we're ever going to do things on our own. We thank You, dear Lord, for always being there for us, even when we're not there for You, and for being faithful, even when we are faithless. We thank You, dear Lord, for that, and we want to really, really trust in You. We want to really, really believe in You and really, really give everything that we have to seek You. And we know that when we seek the Lord, that all of our fears are going to go away. I thank You, dear Lord, for reminding us of this message today. And I pray, dear Lord, that You really would give us the guidance and the strength and the discipline and the awareness, dear Lord, to always be aware of Your faithfulness, not to be overcome by fear. Pray for a special blessing for our gathering here. Everyone who's going through things in life, whether it's loneliness or sadness or tragedy or crisis or whatever it is, You know, dear Lord, what is on the inside of us, and You know who's hurting where. I pray that whatever fears are inside, whatever anxieties, dear Lord, You would come and overcome those by Your faithfulness. I ask, dear Lord, for a special blessing for our group, for our church, for our Father Boone of Shoy, to Sonia Urini and all those who ask us to remember them in our prayers, through our Lord, God, and Savior Jesus Christ, through the intercessions and prayers of our Holy Mother, St. Mary, and St. Mark, and all of Your saints. Hear us, Lord, as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, for Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace. May the peace of God be with you all.